Hello! Welcome to the Nerd Outcast podcast. My name is Chris Bash and I am your host. And today we're going to discuss Green Lantern. I have assembled a group of expert nerds with me today who are going to attempt to talk with authority on this subject. So, let's go on and introduce you guys. To my left I have here...
Hi, this is Roman, and I have been a Green Lantern fan for most of my life.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if you were going to say anything else.
It's pretty casual, guys. You can just stop.
I'm sorry. I'm so nervous, guys. So nervous. My name is Lawrence Kern, and I've been a Green Lantern fan for like 3 or 4 days. Really? No, all my life. So like all his comic books. Yeah, so I just caught up.
Nice. And finally...
Patrick Sweetman, comic book reader from way back, and Green Lantern was definitely one of my favorites.
And as is typical for this podcast, I have invited an outcast, someone who is not as familiar with the subject that we will be discussing today. And to my right, that outcast is...
Hi, my name is Sean Okerberg.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
So before we get discussing about Green Lantern, let's talk a little bit about where you're coming from. Are you a comic book guy, or do you read Green Lantern? Do you read any comic books? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, I used to read comics a while back, but I've kind of fallen out of it. I used to read a lot of X-Men.
You really paused right there. What?
You said we were going to beat him up.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone all of a sudden turned on me, and I got scared and peed a little bit. But yeah, I'm not a big comic book reader. I've been reading some lately within the last year. A lot of Preacher.
Nice.
And, and Aquaman, you know.
Well, Aquaman, clearly, I mean.
But, yeah.
Greatest hero out there, better than Namor.
Yeah. So that's where I'm coming from.
All right, well, we're going...
You're proving that you're not just a Green Lantern outcast, you're just an outcast.
You're a real outcast.
Nobody here likes me.
We found him around the corner.
That's where we go. Box.
Well, hopefully, we're going to attempt to convince you why Green Lantern is important. I'm kind of in the same camp as Sean. I actually don't know Green Lantern very well.
And you also like Aquaman?
I think Aquaman is awesome. No, I'm pretty lukewarm on Green Lantern, so... Oh, wow, the judgment.
There's no gray area.
All right.
There's all a gray and blue.
All right, let's dive into it then. Just to set up a little history, let's go back to the beginning. According to the research that I looked up on the mighty internet and some book sources, Green Lantern first appeared in the All-American Comics in 1940.
I will not dispute that.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
He is obviously a DC property, which... means Detective Comics.
Yes.
That's great.
Very good.
And the first Green Lantern was Alan Scott. So let's talk about Alan Scott.
He's not gay. That's one.
Well, there's right my
there.
Explicit rating.
Throw that out.
Well, Alan Scott was the Golden Age Green Lantern, and...
Before you go any further, I do want to chat about the different... Ages.
Okay.
Yeah. What is the golden age?
That was the 1940s, 50s. That was the classic, you know, the first, when like Superman first came about and like the original Flash. And these were kind of the ones that took place during World War II and the years just shortly after.
Was Marvel around at this time?
I think it was late 50s when they were getting started, wasn't it? So at the time, DC, they had other competition with smaller companies, but DC was, especially with Superman and a couple other characters, Batman was gaining popularity. They were definitely kind of taking control of what was a burgeoning comic industry.
And does the Golden Age just refer to DC's properties, or is that kind of given
actually
to
all
of
comics in that kind of time period? I think there's a set cutoff. I just forgot what year it was. I don't know if you guys happen to remember, but I think it was like the late 50s or something.
I think you're right. I think from what I read, the Silver Age starts like 1955, 1956.
Yeah, it carries through the 60s and I think into the 70s even.
Okay, well... we got that established, so let's talk about Alan Scott.
So Alan, as I was mentioning, was the Green Lantern of the Golden Age of comics, and put in a more common context, he's still around, but he's not really part of what this modern Green Lantern became with the Green Lantern Corps and everything else. He was, and they've kind of modified his past story, but now it really all revolves around he found a ring. He found a ring that taps into the power, but he's not really part of them, but he uses kind of the same power. But he doesn't have a job. He's not one of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, he
was all about magic.
Yeah, so yeah.
That magic, the new Green Lantern's are science.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has to take the ring to Mordor, or?
Only when he wants to destroy it.
Oh.
I think that the ring that he had was actually powered originally by the Guardians.
Yeah, they've changed that a few times.
Yeah, they retconned it so that I think he got that ring from one of the older Green Lanterns.
Mm-hmm. Who was a previous protector of the other sector.
Yeah, like some to some of the stuff that I've read, his ring, it is magical. It's not scientific, but it was part of a meteor or something that a Chinese man found, and then...
And this is where it gets hard going back in the history of comics.
Your cats hate Alan Scott.
Cats are not happy with Alan Scott.
The history of comics, you know, they update the backgrounds of a lot of the characters over the years. They do these different, you know, Zero Hours and Crisis on Multiple Earths.
Different universe, yeah.
And they end up modifying people's histories, and that we've seen with Alan Scott a couple times, like how he got the ring and how everything came about. So it's kind of weird trying to lock it down.
Yeah, it was that that Green Lantern in China who he kind of went nuts and tried to rule over the village. So the Guardians actually instituted that weakness of Alan Scott's ring, which is the weakness of wood, because the villagers in China were able to club the Green Lantern to death or something.
It was basically teaching him a lesson, if I recall. It was teaching him humility, because all of a sudden he wasn't all powerful over his people. He'd basically subjugated.
Big oversight there. Wood.
I have to admit that his costume design I was not a big fan of, because it's like the red pirate-looking shirt with the cape. Which
but
is
that was all the rage.
Yeah, back then everybody had a cape.
I don't know. I felt it works really well for Superman and Batman, but I'm kind of glad they ditch it later on for Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Didn't most of the characters in the 40s have capes? Except for like the Flash.
Yeah.
The old Flash with the tin hat.
Yeah, like the whole Golden Age and stuff, that all gets really convoluted in like what, Darkest Night and things like that, when they start to bring back other characters from the other times, and so you have to like open up a book and try to figure out where the hell this person came from and what world they're talking about.
And personally, one of my favorite things is the Golden Age characters who were supposed to be like roughly late 20s, 30s in like 1940, and they're still around today, but only like 70.
Right. They age well.
Yeah.
Did he have any main villains that he fought, Alan Scott, or was it...
I don't recall.
Oh, man. I don't... No, I mean, back then it was pretty much like the villain of the week.
Crime. Yeah.
Okay.
It was like Superman fighting crime, like, you know, mobsters, banks getting held up. There wasn't like a bad guy yet. He was just doing American stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Sean, do you have any... We're about to move on from Alan Scott. Is there anything...
No.
To the real Green Lantern?
All right.
We didn't talk about it.
All right. Let's go on and move on to...
What was his sexual orientation?
I don't know.
He was not gay.
He used to be straight, and then a few years ago, the comics decided he was gay.
Well, he did have a daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
See, so he couldn't have been gay. Everybody knows you have a daughter. There's no way he could be gay. No one... Come on.
All right, moving on to the Green Lantern that is probably most well-known. Next up is Hal Jordan.
Woo!
Yay! And now, this is the start, or the transition into the Silver Age of comics.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. And they move over to the scientific approach. Yep. So let's talk about some of the changes that the Silver Age brings, and then we'll... bring that into the Green Lantern focus.
Well, I mean, the launch of the Silver Age heroes is pretty much more or less the basis for the heroes we know today, and are still kind of the premise, you know, the storylines that we read, you know, the modified, you know, the Hal Jordan and stuff, and bringing in people like, you know, Wonder Woman and kind of modifying her a little bit. But, I mean, just, you know, to touch on Green Lantern specifically, he, you know, Hal Jordan is basically the quintessential Green Lantern. And as we'll be talking about later, there are other Green Lanterns, the whole Green Lantern core, but typically, you know, Hal Jordan is kind of thought of as the Green Lantern in just the comics perspective, because he was the first kind of main one who lasted for years before they really started introducing a bunch of other...
So according to this new Silver Age comics, so the Green Lantern, it's not magical, it's scientific.
Yep.
His power comes from what?
His power comes from a giant battery, basically, on the planet Oa.
Which is the center of the universe.
Where the Guardians of the Galaxy reside. And basically the Green Lantern Corps are a giant intergalactic police force armed with these green rings that harness the green energy from the battery that their willpower controls. They can create anything that they can think of. They just have to have the will to be able to control it and make it last.
Now it's will, because the Guardians of the Galaxy over billions of years they thought that will was the strongest
weapon
emotion
out there.
In the universe.
Hmm.
So that's what they chose to power
the central battery on Oa.
Except for one that disappeared for a while, and then that ends the whole yellow thing. But then, big secret.
We'll get into that. All right. That seems like a really big revamp and just like twist on the universe. Because I feel they didn't do that with Superman or Batman.
They didn't. The original Alan Scott Green Lantern, they just kind of said, all right, well, that was him, but this new Green Lantern, this comes from, there's this big intergalactic police force of Green Lantern, and that's how, the new Green Lantern kicks off, is Abin Sur, who's one of the Green Lanterns. He's the Green Lantern for Sector 2814, which covers Earth. Crash lands on Earth, badly damaged. He basically tells his ring, go find me somebody worthy, and that's when it finds House Jordan, who's a test pilot, brings him back, and he turns over the ring to him and says, you're up.
You know, you mentioned that he watches over Earth as part of, which sector was it?
2814.
2814. So he's essentially like a cop almost. Yep. Right. How is Hal Jordan different from Alan Scott, like personality-wise?
Oh, he's...
not gay.
He's not, for one.
he's cocky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Much more headstrong.
Actually, the Silver Age Green Lantern, or the Silver Age Hal Jordan, he was actually more... kind of straight laced by the book than the modern.
He had that kind of military, thing going, but the cockiness from the test pilot thing.
Well, that's the thing about the Golden Age and the Silver Age. Like, they didn't have a lot of character development you could do with the earlier characters. Like, when they created Hal Jordan, then they opened it up for a more emotional, like, roller coaster of, like, he's cocky, he's kind of a dick. You know, he kind of fights with his own, his own like insecurities about being Green Lantern, which he didn't have in the first Green Lantern. It's much more, like we said before, American red, white, and blue, straight laced. Yeah. It kind of gets a little darker.
Is he more like a flawed character, whereas the first one was just all good?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he definitely dealt with those insecurities. He never, didn't feel he was, right for it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It took him a long time for the character to kind of grow into accepting that, this was his responsibility and he would live up to it.
Yeah, there was one thing that Alan Scott didn't have to deal with, just training and being accepted by the rest of the Corps.
Yeah.
I mean, Alan Scott just found the meteor, made the ring, and, boom, I'm the Green Lantern.
He didn't have to fight intergalactic threats either, so.
Yeah, he was always on planet.
Hal had to fight bigger things.
He never had to go off planet, Mm-hmm. And then you have Green Lantern and Green Arrow, that whole comic book, which was the whole social climate of the times.
Pretty revolutionary.
Yeah.
Since you brought that up, let's go on and talk about that, because that was actually in my notes. There apparently was a long run of Green Lantern / Green Arrow, and Green Lantern is the cop, he's the law enforcement, the lawful one, and Green Arrow is the essentially
vigilante.
And some of the stuff that I read, they tackled really, really interesting issues, because this was around the 60s and 70s when they started doing this. Yeah. So, like, they brought up an issue with drug addiction.
Green Arrow was addicted for a while.
Speedy. His protege. He was addicted to heroin.
The hard one, yeah.
Are there any other memorable Green Lantern, Green Arrow stories? I'm not very familiar with Green Arrow either, so I don't. Does it make sense to throw those two together? Did that seem odd at the time?
I know they tackled homelessness, racism,
and I mean it was because Green Arrow was much more like of the people, more Robin Hood. He would actually kill people occasionally. Like if it happened and he had to kill somebody, he would kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Green Lantern wasn't supposed to do that. So they had those conflicting, viewpoints of, like, the ends justifying the means with each other. Which I thought was interesting.
Did most of the stories still revolve around Earth, or did they take him out of Earth?
The Green Arrow, Green Lantern were pretty much centered on Earth. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. There weren't too many that they dealt otherwise. Because they had Green Lantern, he had a combination of stuff that would happen more locally, terrestrially. Then later, especially as we got into the 80s more, it seemed like he was dealing with more off-planet stuff. But then that had to go with, they were getting to more of that universal and stuff. We were kind of definitely getting out there more Star Wars. Everybody got more into space.
Oh, true, so. Yeah.
So when did this Green Arrow, Green Lantern exist? When was this coming out?
The 60s and 70s.
And they touched on it again. They would do crossovers throughout the 80s. Yeah. And then even in the 90s when they kind of switched up they had a new Green Lantern, a new Green Arrow. They even did some crossovers there.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they still run a Green Lantern solo at this time, or was it...
Green Lantern continued as its own comic book for a long time. I think then there was a brief shutdown right before they relaunched it. But yeah, even when they were doing the crossovers, they were doing
the Green Arrow, Green Lantern series. I think once that shut down, that's when they actually introduced Jon Stewart. Towards the end of the Silver Age.
Yeah,
but.
And that was when Comedy Central started, too, so it was a really exciting time.
Well, you conveniently hit on another topic I'd like to discuss. Hal Jordan is in service for quite a long time, but I have two other names written down that pop up alongside Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner and Jon Stewart, and they are Green Lanterns as well.
Guy Gardner was the best Green Lantern ever. I don't care what anybody does to say.
So who are these guys? Because I know Jon Stewart's an architect.
Right.
And also a really good Daily Show host.
Yeah. Correspondent.
And then they fought Steve Carell.
Well, the whole way they introduced Guy Gardner was that, like, when Avan Sur was like, go find me another Green Lantern, Hal Jordan was picked because of his proximity. There were actually two people that fit the quota.
So wait, as he's dying, he says to the ring, go find someone.
Yep, find someone worthy.
And so Hal Jordan, say it like it's a silly thing.
It's not.
What happens every time a Green Lantern dies.
Ring.
It may be more based on science, but it's got some magic.
It does. Yeah. That's all right.
So, like, there were two. It was Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan. And Hal Jordan was closer.
And boy, did it miss the mark on Guy Gardner.
Is Guy Gardner a pilot, or, I mean, what is he?
He was a cop, right?
Yeah,
he was a cop. University of Michigan football player.
Yeah.
Now, if the ring chooses you...
All around pain in the butt.
If the ring chooses you, that means you are worthy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was... I've read some weird things about Guy Gardner, that he's kind of a strange guy.
He's a dick.
He was a hothead. Like he got... Yeah, the Greenland, Hal Jordan,
kind of like how you're
Guy Gardner,
right?
Never got along.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they were always going at each other.
In fact, there was a couple times where I think Hal punched him out.
Yeah, and Guy Gardner eventually, takes on the Red Ring for a while.
Well, how did Guy Gardner even get activated? I mean, is Hal Jordan taken out of commission at some point?
Or was it a different sector? I couldn't remember.
It was a different sector, I think.
Because with being the Intergalactic Police Force,
it goes away.
They would find alien races to work in different sectors aside from their home sector. So I think they recruited him or something to
sort of like the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was playing in Green Lantern Europe.
And what about Jon Stewart? Where did this guy come from? I mean, he's an architect.
He was an architect. He was a Marine.
Oh, nice.
Now I think he was drafted into the Corps while Hal was still in it, as an additional Green Lantern to patrol 2814.
Okay. Because we kept ending up with all these intergalactic problems.
Yeah, and they actually retconned his story, so that he and Hal actually met while they were both in the service, while Hal was in the Air Force, and Jon Stewart
of
was in the Marines, and they actually fought each other.
How convenient!
I'm not too sure what the circumstances were in the comic books where what happened with Hal when
Kyle got recruited after Parallax, John's always the one that I'm kind of sketchy on. I'm like, John.
Yeah. I mean, I know what happened in the comic books in DC. I mean, sales were kind of lagging, and they thought, okay, we need to introduce a new Green Lantern, and hey,
is this the Bronze Age at this point that we're moving into? Because I noticed that there's a Bronze Age after
the
Silver Age.
Ages.
Yeah. I think this was, it could have been the Bronze Age. I know it was towards the end of the Silver Age.
It was
still the
80s,
Silver Age,
I think, wasn't it, with Jon Stewart?
John was, I think it was still the 70s, like late 70s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's interesting because John was actually the Green Lantern who was used in the Justice League, the animated series.
The animated series.
And even a couple of movies he's been in instead of some of the others.
First appearance was in 1971.
Oh, wow.
There we go. From Detroit, Michigan.
Motown.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. I've got two other lanterns listed. One of which I've never even heard of. We've got Kyle Rayner.
Woo!
Yeah. We've got Simon Baz.
He's the new one, right?
He's the new one. And I love what they do with the lanterns, because Jon Stewart, I mean, he was African American. Uh-huh. Kyle Rayner is Mexican American, and Simon Baz is actually the first Arab American superhero. In DC, I don't know if one exists.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, the X-Men have just about everybody at this point. So.
Yeah.
Now, are these guys active at the same time Hal Jordan is, or?
Well, Kyle's a special situation. Now we have to tell you the story of Parallax.
All right. Let's go on and hit on specific stories. Let's talk about Parallax. Well, actually, before we talk about Parallax, let's talk about something that may not take as long. Who is Star Sapphire? Because this that person is, sounds very important to the mythos.
I can set this up, but I don't know what the transition, how she became Star Sapphire. So Hal Jordan worked at Ferris Aviation as the test pilot when he became the Green Lantern, and still did while he was Green Lantern. It was kind of his day job, and then go fight crime. And Carol Ferris was the daughter of the owner who worked there, who I don't know, they did get romantically involved at some point, right?
Carol's dad was the owner of Ferris Air when Hal's dad was a test pilot, and Hal's dad died in a plane accident, and the company was going downhill. Carol inherited it, and I mean, Carol has an excellent business acumen, so she built the company up. And Hal was looking for a job as a pilot, and I think they actually hated each other as kids.
Yeah, but then they became like the romantic couple, right? The,
mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
And then at some point, and that's where I'm hoping, Roman, you can fill this in, because I lost it. She became Star Sapphire.
Or. I don't know how she became Star Sapphire.
I know it happened.
It was because she was connected to Hal somehow. Mm-hmm.
I bet my brother is listening to this right now.
And he wants to jump
freaking
in.
Out.
Yes, he's pulling his hair out.
Actually, there's probably a lot of nerds listening to this freaking out because they all noticed.
We apologize.
We're sorry.
We're not that well read up at the moment. Carol Ferris.
I'm assuming that Carol Ferris is supposed to be his Lois Lane.
More or less.
More or less.
I thought you wanted to talk about Green Lantern.
Well, I have to talk about it in terms that I know.
Well, Carol and Hal were in love, and the emotion that the Star Sapphires use is love.
But she's a villain.
Yeah, she's a villain because the love kind of distorted her.
Comics are saying, watch out for a woman in love. They'll hurt you.
Well, woman spurned.
Yes, that's true.
Here, I got it. Yes. If you guys want to hear this, here it is.
Hold on,
pick it.
So is Star Sapphire an organization, sort of like the Green Lanterns are?
That's her name.
Oh,
I don't think it's... Is there a Sapphire
Crystal
or something? Or
Zamorans?
Zamorans.
So they're an alien race?
Yes.
What do you got over there, Lion?
All right, so here it is. So we can just get this out of there. Within DC continuity, an immortal race of warrior women were depicted as having the ancient tradition of choosing physically identical mortals, Carol Ferris, from across the cosmos to serve as the host body for their queen. The women that they chose to serve this role is called Star Sapphire. She has given the queen's symbolic weapon a crystal resembling an actual Star Sapphire that grants the user power similar to the power ring of a Green Lantern. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, there.
All right.
And that's emotion-based, same as Green Lantern is...
Willpower-based.
Willpower-based. Okay.
All of the rings are based on an emotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to the rings. But let's talk about Parallax, which actually begins with the death of Superman because of the destruction of Coastal City.
And this was an interesting time in DC where they did a really good job of tying in a lot of different storylines and building on them. Many of you may remember the early 90s, Superman died briefly.
That was a big deal. That was a big deal.
And during the process of bringing him back, there were the four different Supermen. The cyborg one
being, Hank Henshaw, cyborg Superman,
and evil, and and I forget who the other one was that he was working with. They end up destroying Coast City, which
the Eradicator
he was Kryptonian, and then there was Steel,
Steel and Superboy. Is that the other one?
But
Coastal City
Coast City was where Hal Jordan basically lived. That was his headquarters. That was his like West Coast version of Metropolis. It was probably like a San Diego kind of. Yeah, it's basically what it was supposed to be.
It's supposed to be San Diego.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, and I didn't read the specifics, but Cyborg and somebody else he was working with.
It was Cyborg, Superman, and Mongol.
Mm-hmm.
They basically just destroyed
it. Wiped it off
Coast
the map.
City.
They turned it into a bay, basically. Yeah. I mean, it was just nothing left.
Yeah, they obliterated it, and Hal just went
crazy. Mm-hmm. All these people he knew and loved and died.
Yeah, at the time.
Now, did he go crazy right away, or was this something that kind of just set in?
It kind of was pretty quick.
Yeah.
He did not deal with it well.
Yeah, and he tried to use the power of his ring to recreate
Rebuild
Coast
it.
City.
Yeah.
Including the people again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which didn't really work because of the limited power of just the ring. And the Guardian sent a warning to him and basically, you know, said, turn in your ring, you've used your powers for, you know, personal gain. That's not allowed.
And
he got really
just
pissed.
Yeah, he just went crazy. It. He traveled to Oa, killed everybody in the Corps.
He kills the Guardians.
He basically decided he needed more. Screw the Guardians. He wanted the power so he could permanently recreate Coast City. If he had enough power from the battery, he could do it. And he wasn't going to let anybody stand in his way. And the Guardians started to send some of the Green Lantern Corps to stop him, and he killed them one by one, sometimes two by two.
Wow.
Yeah, he went off the deep end in a bad way.
And I think he was, as he was killing them, he was absorbing
all their powers.
Powers.
Yeah.
So he gradually became more powerful to the point where he was powerful enough to face the Guardians himself. And the Guardians were frightened enough in that they started releasing some of the... They hold like supervillains on Oa in these power cells, like just villains, most powerful villains in the universe. Yeah. So they started releasing those villains to fight him. And
such as Sinestro.
Yeah, Sinestro. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One of them. And he
killed him.
So
because there's a picture, that old picture of him with like rings
all over him,
and he's just crazy as all get out.
Mm-hmm. So after he takes on all this power, he renames himself Parallax.
It comes out later in issues that there's basically another trapped entity that was in the battery. It's this giant ring or lantern shaped battery on Oa that he stepped into to absorb all the power.
That was the retcon.
Oh, okay.
Of it. Yeah, I mean, he was...
Yeah.
Originally, the story
originally
was...
He just went crazy.
Yeah,
just
going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got all this power, and he's, like, off to... That's kind of what kicked off Zero Hour, right? Was he was trying to basically jumpstart the universe in his own image, you know, and take things back. And so all these superheroes across the board had to band together and fight him. Hmm. Basically, the Green Lantern gone bad.
Mm-hmm. So how did they... Like, what happened?
So, two things. One of the Guardians, they named Ganthet, the rest of the Guardians, they knew they're like, we're screwed. So they gave Ganthet one final ring, gave it to Ganthet, said, go to Earth, find somebody deserving. So Ganthet became the only surviving Guardian. The rest got killed by Hal. Ganthet goes to Earth, finds Kyle Rayner, gives him the ring. And something special about his ring is Kyle's ring does not have the yellow impurity that all other Green Lantern rings have. They removed that impurity when they gave it to him.
Mm-hmm. So he has no weakness?
No.
Okay.
Well,
and then at one point...
Aside from human flaws.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from drinking and gambling.
And eventually at one point, Kyle doesn't even have a ring anymore. Like, he is a ring. Like, himself. Like, he doesn't even have to wear one. Like, his mind just does it, which is interesting.
And so I'm trying to remember the Zero Hour, because basically everybody has to band together, like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. I mean, it's an all-out, across-the-board fight against...
Parallax was... I mean, they all got together. There was this big fight. Mm-hmm. Parallax was ultimately defeated. And something happened with the sun where it was going out.
Well, that came about later. That was him when he came back or something.
Yeah.
Wait, the sun? Like the sun?
Hal's redemption was like being...
He was
able to, like,
still... Yeah, he was Parallax still at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he had, you know...
Yeah.
I guess there was... Yeah.
Yeah.
There was enough
clarity.
There was enough public outcry over them just turning Hal into an outright, you know, villain.
Yeah.
That they wanted to give him a good, you know, heroic send-off.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think that was a few years later, because I think there was a separation. Like, at first it was like, well, Parallax is gone and dead and stuff, and this was another one of those things that DC used to reboot the entire universe, and they, you know, redlined some people's histories and stuff, brought stuff up to date.
Well, they had to justify bringing him back.
Exactly.
So they were like, oh, no, wait, Parallax was actually this entity. It wasn't really Hal's fault,
so
now he's...
So, yeah, now Hal comes back and, like, is part of it, like, the sun's going out or something, and the Earth's going to die. I mean, like, the sun is gone out, and it's just a matter of time. And, yeah, Hal, as Parallax or whatever, goes in there, and he's got enough humanity left. He basically sacrifices himself and unleashes enough energy to, you know, reignite the sun.
Wow.
And it saves everyone. And so, I guess it simultaneously separates him from Parallax.
Yeah, he seemingly dies, but he's not really dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As is often the case in comic books.
Right. And that's where Hal becomes the Spectre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Spectre is the Spirit of Vengeance.
The Spirit of Vengeance, yeah.
So he's not a Green Lantern anymore.
At that time, no.
Okay.
So right. Now the only Green Lanterns at that point are, or the Green Lanterns that are defending 2814 are John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and Kyle Rayner.
Yeah. Well, and for a while, it was Guy Gardner was out of the core before the Parallax thing started. Mm-hmm. They kicked him out. He'd already gotten, you know, done a red ring.
He got a yellow ring.
Mm-hmm. And around that time, he became that warrior character, which was a horrible side project. Yeah. And so, yeah, for a while, Kyle Rayner was the only Lantern while initially Hal had gone bad. He later found or was able to create another ring and gave it to John Stewart, because John had lost his, I think he had retired from the Corps previously, so he didn't have a ring anymore, so he got him back in. He also, so Kyle basically started to recreate the Corps, recruiting new members and stuff, and then, you know, the Parallax stuff starts, you know, the sun going out and reigniting and everything comes about.
You know, something that I saw that was interesting as I was reading up on this, they did a lot of crossovers, and they did them very well, generally. And they had massive storylines.
Yeah.
One of the most notable ones, Crisis on Infinite Earths, but all of these massive crossover plots.
And Zero Hour was in the same vein as that. It was an attempt to do this giant crossover and also give them a chance to kind of reset their history a little bit and modify stuff as needed.
Okay.
And yeah, DC has always done a really good job at that. And stuff like With the Sun Going Out, they did some of that. I think even this, you know, Blackest Night.
Blackest Night.
Another one of those.
Because they bring a bunch of, like, the Silver Age people back for Blackest Night. That you're like, whoa, I have to get a book out to even see who you are. Because you had, like, two actual articles. Like, you had maybe two comic books that were dedicated to you, and then you disappeared.
So if you're ready for that, that's how we get Hal back.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, before we go into that,
any questions so far,
Sean? We have covered a lot of Green Lantern about almost 60 years in half an hour.
Uh-huh.
So let's pause for a moment.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Okay. A lot of emotions, greens and reds.
I've got some questions I'd like to ask, but I would like to turn it over to you if you have any questions that you have.
Well, I had one question I was thinking of when you guys were talking, especially when he started out. And it sounded like, when did it start out? 40s?
Yeah.
Hal 19, Jordan was 50s or 60s? Yeah, 50s.
Oh, okay.
But the original one was the 40s, Alan Scott.
Gotcha. I was just wondering what your thoughts were, like, when it came out and why it came out. Because it sounds like, especially during World War II, I know a lot of comic books were pretty popular, and a lot of them, like Captain America, had to do with kind of, in a way, showing kids, you know, giving kids a context of what was going on a world stage so that they could kind of understand it and stuff like that. And then, like, well, yeah, Captain America, and then you talked a lot about a lot of these Green Lantern characters are from the military, and I didn't know if that had something to do with it or if you guys thought about that. And because, like, the comic book I read when I was a kid was X-Men, and, you know, later on I kind of, you know, understood that it came out when it did because it was talking, has a lot to do with race and, you know, Martin Luther King versus Malcolm X, and, you know, their different approaches and stuff like that. And so I was just kind of curious as to your thoughts on Green Lantern is where he comes out in history and what that has to do, or if you think it has anything to do with...
Well, none of us were alive in the 1940s.
Well, until, like, the 60s and 70s, like, the social relevance of, like, each character was kind of gray in regards to, like, they were just coming up with characters that were like, this guy's awesome. Even, like, Green Lantern, there was accusations of stealing from the other... Was it Marvel at the time? They had another one that was like, oh, the Guardians are just, like, the Minutemen of this guy. Like, there was another guy they had that answered to... you know, cosmic, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy called the Minutemen, and he had something that he would power up. And they were like, wow, that's really weird. You have the exact same characters. That happened a lot, though. But, like, they were just coming out with guys.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like, especially in the Golden Age, a lot of the characters seemed to be, how can we imbue somebody with a new superpower just to go fight the same criminals? It was kind of in its infancy. It was just, you know, trying to keep kids entertained, really.
Yeah, how do you sell comic books?
Yeah, it was just kind of, you know, all right, well, we need a new hook, you know. All right, well, this person that's a ring is their power, and, oh, the Flash, he can run really fast. And, you know, it was just, you know, like Lauren said, it wasn't a whole lot early on that really developed the characters.
Yeah, the change was actually economically driven. I mean, sales of the Alan Scott Green Lantern comic were starting to go down, and DC, I mean, they started seeing, okay, there are all these characters coming out that we're from space or alien oriented or cosmic oriented. So right around that time that Hal Jordan and you know the alien based Green Lantern came out, there were comics like you know Marvel came out with Fantastic Four, which was very comic. I mean, cosmic based.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman was an alien. His popularity kind of, I mean, it was constant. I'm not sure what other heroes came out at around that time. I think Thor came out at around that time, too. So they were moving more towards, you know, more fantasy and fantastic rather than just, you know, heroes fighting on Earth, fighting, you know,
Hitler.
I think at least with like Green Lantern, one of the reasons you keep seeing this theme of you know police officers and military is because the Green Lanterns they are supposed to be this intergalactic police force, and I think they're just trying to play on that theme of, oh well, of course they're a perfect fit because they were you know in the Air Force, they were in the Marines. It's like, you know, not necessarily very creative, but I think that they were just trying to like do a quick. It's like, oh well, that's why they were chosen because they're prepared for it. Which was interesting because when they chose Kyle Rayner,
he's
a graphic artist. He was never in the military, had no combat training or anything.
But he's creative.
He's extremely creative, and some of his things. That was, I think, one of the things.
He went to a Montessori school,
a magnet school.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was one of the things the artists were enjoying was by having that character, it allowed them to do these grandiose creations from the ring. Because as much fun as Hal Jordan is, he was the one with the baseball bat, the punching you with the giant green fist, the catcher's mitt, you know. Very simple stuff. So yeah, I think with Kyle Rayner, they definitely had a lot more fun.
Did we answer your question? I don't know. I think we answered your question.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you happy with the answer?
I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious as to what your thoughts on why it came out, like why it was created, and I think you guys kind of...
Well, hold on to your question, because I just had a question pop up that I want to ask you all. So the ring...
Yes.
What
piece of jewelry in the universe?
It is. What is his what's his power? I mean, is he stronger than Superman? I mean, like where does Green Lantern rank among the powers of heroes?
It's the ring is considered the most powerful weapon in the universe.
Huh?
It can be used for, you know, whatever you want, whatever you can create from it, but he can't make himself. Well, I think he can make himself a little stronger, but not like Superman strength. Yeah. But some of the creations he can come up with, it would have the strength of whatever he imbues into it, basically.
He can like reinforce himself with like shields and armor and things like that, but like he's still human.
He can fly through space because he basically creates a protective bubble that can generate oxygen. He can fly, you know.
The ring theoretically speed. Is, I mean, it's only charged for like a day. It's only charged for 24 hours.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Except for Kyle Rayner's, his is longer as well.
So. But its power is supposedly unlimited or limited by the users.
They're actually just like the iPod.
Well,
it's
kind of
strange.
It's limited by two things, their will and their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if they can think of it and they have the willpower to maintain it and do it, they theoretically can.
So theoretically, he could create some sort of force field around Superman, and if his will was strong enough, Superman
he could hold
be
Superman.
Able to,
He would have to firmly believe that Superman could never break through it. And it's
which would have been awesome if Alan Scott had gone up against Superman, because Alan Scott was theoretically magic, and that's
Superman.
The only thing
Superman
can't. You know, it's one of his things. That would have been awesome.
And gambling. Superman's massive gambling. Okay. But he's weak to yellow.
Yes.
Now, like, if he looks at, like, your yellow notepad that I'm looking at, does he freak out?
No, it's the power of the ring doesn't affect yellow, or it's canceled out by the power by the color yellow. That was more of a ploy, just give them a weakness.
Mm-hmm. You mean, like, things that are yellow?
Yeah.
Like,
If a taxi cab is coming at him,
theoretically, he could not pick up a yellow taxi cab with the power of the ring.
If Superman threw a banana at him,
banana would get him right in the face.
It would be really,
and it would
have
been thrown
like
by Superman, so that'd be really deadly.
Yeah. And that's gonna hurt his will. So
then he'd be embarrassed,
like an ass,
and he loses power.
And I think that was two things. One, give him a flaw, because I think they realized early on, like characters like Superman, it was like so damn powerful, you have to have something, which is why they later threw in Kryptonite. So I want to give him a flaw, and two, later when Sinestro became the big villain for a long time. He had a yellow ring, which was, you know, so they would fight each other. So their rings really didn't affect each other. So they had to get more creative on how they attacked.
And so green is weak to yellow. Is yellow weak to green?
I believe so. I think they canceled each other out.
Now, there's also red, orange, blue, indigo, violet, black, and white.
We have to talk about those.
Red is rage.
Rage.
Orange is avarice.
Avarice, yeah.
I'm sorry. What is avarice? I'm gonna
go. Greed.
Greed.
Okay, thank you.
Greed.
That's a great character. That
Larfleeze.
He's great. That guy.
What's his name?
Larfleeze.
I think where Rob got a character name for a role playing game.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Yeah. Each of the other core have like leaders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leaders of the core, and Larfleeze is the leader of the Orange Lanterns.
At one point, Lex Luthor gets the orange ring,
which is super cool.
Super
appropriate. Yeah, that's during Blackest Night. Mm-hmm. But. What else? There's blue.
There's blue.
Blue is hope.
Hope? Is that an emotion?
Wishes.
Aww.
Which is
that right?
It's funny because hope is on its own probably the weakest.
Right.
Well, combined with Captain Planet.
But when you combine it with
Hands Across America,
Will, when you combine it with green, it becomes the most powerful.
Right.
Yeah, it can overcome any of the other ones.
Wow.
So if a Green Lantern marries a Blue Lantern, they can do anything.
Yeah, then you got...
Then you got then magic.
Then you get, you get an Indigo Lantern.
Yeah.
Shit's going down.
What is Indigo?
Indigo is... what is that? Compassion.
Weird.
Yeah.
Violet?
Love?
Black?
That's death, right? Death.
It's death, yeah.
That's not an emotion.
But it's all, like, it had, like, the whole power of, like, bringing people back as well.
I'm
so
assuming
weird...
white is life.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yellow is fear.
Yeah.
No, they retcon the yellow impurity to make it Parallax. Mm-hmm. And once Parallax left the battery, for a while the green rings weren't affected by yellow anymore. Like they could do whatever. But I think
they've gone back
re-retconned it.
Hal had his first banana in over like 3 years after that.
Finally, potassium. It feels so good.
Special deficiency.
Oh, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
Started drinking lemonade.
Yeah.
So good.
Sean, how are we doing? How are you doing?
Good.
You have any questions?
Feeling good. No.
All right.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got another question to keep this discussion going. So villains.
Mm-hmm.
Who should I know about his rogues gallery? Who's an important villain for Green Lantern?
Well, Sinestro.
I mean, Sinestro came up a lot.
He's a classic one.
Well, let's talk about Sinestro.
He was
Mark Strong in the movie, which was actually
in the movie, as bad as it was. I mean, did
he was
right?
Great.
He was great.
I think he was probably one of the good.
Yeah,
the only good parts.
If you know what was it, Ryan Reynolds would have been okay if he just had something to do. The movie itself was just bad.
Yeah.
Like, he had the heart of it, but the writing didn't back up anything to really give him much to work with.
So, Sinestro was, he was, like, the greatest Green Lantern at the time
because
that Hal was...
his system was the most orderly, and...
But he felt he couldn't go far enough either.
Well, yes and no. To start with, Hal, when Hal becomes a Green Lantern, after Abensur gives him the ring, the Guardians bring him to Oa for training.
Mm-hmm.
And Sinestro is responsible for his training.
Mm. And they actually become really good friends for a while, which is cool.
Kind of like Liam Neeson and Christian Bale in Batman Begins.
Okay.
Sure.
Everybody
said
yes through gritted teeth.
He and Sinestro had kind of that same mustache thing.
Yeah.
It was at a certain point that Hal realized that the reason Sinestro's systems were so orderly is he was basically a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He basically, you know, ruled the people he was just supposed to be protecting.
Yeah.
And they lived in fear of Sinestro. And I think Hal, he did something to try to stop him, right? And that's what kind of brought everything to the attention of the Guardians, who ended up banishing Sinestro.
Yeah. You can't go off the movie.
No.
Because that's
completely
that's bastardization.
So, well, the one thing in common that the movie had with the comic book was that Sinestro believed ultimately at the end that the most powerful emotion was fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the Guardians should be using fear to create order in the galaxy.
Yep.
So I think he was banished to some... like other universe,
and somehow he created
a yellow ring.
Yeah, so in the old history of it, he created the yellow ring to fight, one to have power and two to fight the Green Lantern. But that they probably have tied it into the fear rings and everything since. But yeah, for the longest time, he was basically the only person with a yellow ring. That was really the only other color ring for years and years, pretty much all through the 70s and 80s, even.
Then he
90s.
Started recruiting people to his corps, like...
So then he had, like, the yellow corps, and the indigo corps,
And that led to the Sinestro Corps. I mean, it grew to the point where they had this massive crossover in, like, I think it was like 2005, 2006. It was called the Sinestro Corps War.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Which is still probably, it's definitely my top three of crossovers in DC Universe. I mean, it was, it was an amazing, amazing story where he gathered his corps and a couple of, other villains, like Cyborg Superman, Superman Prime from the Crisis of Infinite Earths, which is basically a Superman who's gone bad without any of the emotional or physical limitations of, Superman. Yeah, he was basically the most powerful Superman ever who was insane. Ooh. And he was kind of a wise ass too, which kind of
that just makes it worse. That's salt in the wound right there.
It was great. He was awesome. And the Sinestro Corps, along with these two, they heralded the arrival of the Anti-Monitor, which is God, I don't even
television?
Know
yeah, but that gets it just gets really confusing from there on out. Like it's
right, and well, they basically go to Earth to just try to. It's found out that Earth is not Oa, is the center of the universe. So if they just take over Earth, they can take over the universe from there. So they head over to Earth. There's this massive battle. The Justice League is involved, and all five cores kind of get together and start battling the Sinestro Corps.
So Earth's the center of the universe. Well, Galileo is wrong?
Yes. Yeah. We're very self-centered, which that's actually a bit of a change because, you know, like in the, 70s or 60s when the OO was kind of established, you know, it's like, it was kind of that, you know, hey, we're Earth, we're not the center of the universe. Now we've come back around, we're the center of the universe. Everything happens here for a reason.
Weird. Okay.
But you see that through comics because all the big battles come to Earth. You don't see our heroes flying to too many distant solar systems to fight their wars.
Well, just to get back to villains real quick, and specifically Sinestro, I have unfortunately seen the movie. Is the performance of Sinestro in the movie pretty much how he is in the comic book? Is he this very well-spoken, tyrannical, fear asshole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
He was also in the old... he was one of the villains in Super Friends.
Yes, he was in Legion.
Whoa. I mean, he wore that blue and black kind of clown outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any other villains?
Well, I mean, Parallax is
Okay.
Yeah, but he's...
There's Hector Hammond.
I remember him.
He's from the movie, but the movie kind of combines Hector Hammond, Parallax, and another Green Lantern villain, Krona, who's basically a guardian who just went bad. The movie combines all three elements of each villain into... kind of like one mishmash villain.
Yeah.
Parallax slash
which is
Hector
what became
Hammond.
A big mishmash.
Yeah.
But I mean Hector Hammond is he's like a really strong telepath,
I'm trying to think of stuff. I mean Guy Gardner went bad for a little while, right? He had a yellow ring for a short time.
Well there's a Black Hand.
Black Hand.
From I mean he was a kind of a minor villain up until Blackest Night and he actually
and then he became like pretty important with the rings, with the black ring. So,
and I think that was one of the problems that Green Lantern had at a certain point, wasn't it? Where it just didn't have any good villains. It was, it was like, well, if Sinestro's not here, it's just kind of villain du jour.
But Sinestro is so he's a great villain. I think he's probably one of the top 10 Marvel or DC villains, in my opinion. He's so identifiable with Green Lantern.
Right.
Yep.
And the fact that he used to be considered, you know, the greatest Green Lantern, I mean, that kind of adds to it. And that he's back as a Green Lantern now.
Oh, really?
Right.
Weird.
Yeah.
To get back to the idea of them being a police force, so each sector of the universe has a Green Lantern, is that correct?
In theory.
So would there be a Green Lantern for where Krypton used to be?
Possibly. Yeah, who dropped the ball?
Who dropped that ball?
Good job,
Good job.
It was Sinestro.
Ryan.
Yeah. Philip, you know what you did.
Tomorrow, right?
It was that squirrel.
Yeah.
Squirrel. Oh, God. Was the fucking egg one?
The bee. Like, oh, good job, bee.
I forgot to plug in my ring last night before I went to bed.
I didn't say the oath. It didn't charge.
We've mainly stuck to the human Green Lanterns, but are there any of the other Green Lanterns that you guys wish to discuss?
Kilowog.
Kilowog.
Hearing a lot of love for Kilowog.
Kilowog's awesome.
He's awesome.
What is he? He looks like a big pink dude. But
he's a giant alien who's just,
just a bruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he trains the other Green Lanterns, or the recruits.
Yeah,
especially in like the hand-to-hand stuff.
Is he good friends with Hal Jordan?
Yes,
or
good friends. Yeah. Which is very sad because in the, Emerald Twilight, Hal kills him.
Oh, why?
Because he wants to get in that ring and get all the power and restart the universe.
Yep. Yeah, that would do it. Yep. So is he dead or is he back?
No. Back now.
He's back.
Blackest Night.
Blackest Night was a big do-over.
Resets it. Oh, we miss all these characters
Mulligan.
Killed over the past 2
Mulligan.
Decades.
Mulligan. They just call it the Mulligan Night.
Yeah.
Like, oh, remember that character we killed off in 1978? Let's bring them back.
He's back.
Oh, wow. All right. Is there anything... since the Lanterns are a police force, are there rules that they have to follow? Like, are they not allowed to go into other sectors? Or I'm assuming they're not allowed to kill.
Right.
I think it was revoked in the one of those cross. It was like in Sinestro Corps War.
Sinestro Corps or something like that, where they were like, okay,
you can kill.
Now you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try not to. But,
yeah. Because Sinestro Corps could kill, so it would. They were losing. They're like, well, we're getting our asses kicked. Like they can kill us, and we can't.
Can you use harsh language?
Them.
it turns out that. That was ultimately Sinestro's goal all along in attacking, the universe.
To get them to
he
change their rules?
He wanted the rules to change.
Ah,
and once he got Lethal Force activated, he was like, okay, that's the first step towards ruling the universe with fear.
Ah.
So where do the laws come from? I mean, is it a small committee that's come up with these?
Yeah, exactly. The Guardians. Yeah.
Let's talk about the Guardians. Like,
short blue people.
Yeah, like, are they... Who are they?
Really strong Oompa Loompas.
I mean, they're obviously...
They're around forever. Yeah.
That's pretty much.
They sing little songs about right and wrong.
Do they have a...
That would be awesome. That should be in the next Green Lantern movie.
Do they have a home planet? Or, I mean, is Oa the home planet? Or
was that their home planet, or did they move there from... Because they play with the history so much. I think they were supposed to be from Oa, but that may have changed in comic books.
Because they've been around for like billions and billions of years, so they kind of established themselves on Oa.
In theory, unless it's been rewritten, they're the ones that created and harnessed the power of the lantern, and then later the rings are the ones that put together the core and establish these rules.
I'm not entirely sure what this lantern is. Is it just it's this thing they found?
Yeah,
or did they make it?
It's basically just a focus for this green energy.
Okay.
It's they call it the battery. But they actually, at least previously, it was shaped like the giant green lantern, the same one Hal would have to charge his ring on, just on a much larger scale.
Alan Scott's was really like a
It was like a proper lantern.
Literally a proper lantern, yeah. You're like,
Do they have to go somewhere to charge this, or do they have charge stations at the airport?
They take the charge stations with them, and they usually store them in a little pocket dimension that magically follows them wherever and is always there.
Hal kept his in his locker at Ferris Era. He just kind of stuck it in there.
It's one of those cheesy things, almost like the Highlanders series hiding their swords. It's just kind of like, well, you just pop this off and nobody sees it now, and I come back and pull it out of nowhere, and it's good.
No one's going to find it.
But each individual lantern was powered by that central one, right?
Yeah, it was tied in through the...
USB or micro
Wi-Fi.
It's FireWire. You need a FireWire cable.
Got it.
All you have to do is touch your ring to the lantern. And
then other Green Lanterns are actually always stealing your Wi-Fi, which sucks. Yeah. You know.
I have to admit, the oath is pretty interesting. I do like the oath. There have been a couple of versions of the oath that Alan Scott went through that didn't sound really as catchy. And then they finally settled on the one that is known today, which...
That's the lantern. That's the core oath.
Yeah.
I think each core has an oath. I know in the Dark Knight
they have all the oaths. And it's kind of badass. Like the black one is actually just creepy as all get out. I can't remember. Let me try to find it. But yeah,
try
just,
and find it. You asked what the oath was, Sean.
Yeah,
I have it written down, but I want to see if my nerds can recite it from memory.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
I dropped it on that one. Sorry.
Nerds.
The Lord be with you. Amen.
There's a Sinestro quarrel.
Oh, what is that?
It switches it around.
I will borrow money and not give it back.
I hate green.
I'll never get it.
In blackest day, in brightest night, beware your fear is made into light.
Like brought to light.
Brought to light.
Oh, man. It's creepy from what you're recalling so far. Now I really want
to
know.
Those who try to stop what's right, beware my power, burn in my power, Sinestro's might.
Ooh.
The black one is the blackest night falls from the skies. The darkness grows as all light dies. We crave your hearts and your demise. By my black hand, the dead shall rise.
That's creepy.
Kind of badass.
Nice.
How did the Black Lanterns? They would like reach into people's chests like Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom style, right? And just grab them.
Yeah, it would search you out. And so, like, if you couldn't fight it, it would get on your hand, and then it would just cover you. Like all the superheroes were falling victim to it.
Even
like,
Superman?
Any superhero who had died.
Yes.
Even Superman?
Yeah. Became a... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Superman, Green Arrow became a Black Lantern, Wonder Woman became a Black Lantern.
Aquaman had that problem. Yeah,
that's fine.
Have that problem. I don't care about
Aquaman.
Nobody cares about that.
What Black Aquaman do?
It all became some big ploy, like a long plan of like bring back the dead and then take them over.
Black Aquaman was awesome. Mm-hmm. He would bring back like dead sharks.
Zombie
killer whales. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it was great.
Oh, Shamu's back and he's pissed.
So. This what is the Blackest Night thing? We've touched on it a couple times. What is this?
So all of these.
This is a newer storyline,
starting with like Emerald Twilight and Rebirth. Blackest Night was supposed to be the the last story. Mm, I mean, in the
culmination
Oath,
of the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the it was Abin Sur had kind of found out about this prophecy where. Blackest Night would fall and all the core would fall into darkness and the universe would just, you know, be wrought with death and zombies appearing. So,
Necron was the main guy. Yeah, and he would, like, bring back to life all these dead superheroes. But they wouldn't know, like, at first they didn't know that they were being used by him. And then slowly they'd hear voices and stuff and then they'd slowly be taken over.
Well, what was great about the series, especially at the beginning, is that they were just killing off characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like Hawkman and Hawkgirl. I mean, they were just butchered.
It happened through, like, somebody was talking to him over a phone, and, like, the next thing, like, they turn to ash or something, like they're trying to get to each other, and it's creepy.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It's a great description of it right there.
Sounds like The Ring.
Sounds like the Ring.
Movie, not the... Yeah.
We're pushing close to an hour now, so I kind of want to start wrapping things up. Sean, do you have any questions? Because I've got a series of questions I'd like to go through, but if you've got something you want to talk about...
No, go for it.
All right. So, first off, I kind of just want to know a little bit about your Green Lantern histories. Is this something that you read recently, or did you all read this when you were kids, which I guess would have been in the 80s and 90s primarily, or...
I got, like... I was a teenager, I inherited all of my brother's comic books. And he had, like, somewhere of, like, 3,000 comic books. He just handed to me. So, like, I just sat down and read all of that stuff. And Green Lantern was in there. He wasn't a big fan of Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. But, like, little here and there was the Green Lantern lore that I'd pick up. And then I think, like, in the 80s and 90s, I got into it on my own. And then, obviously, in the last year, I started reading a lot more and doing research.
Okay.
So.
Pat, Roman?
Yeah, I pretty much got into it the same way. My cousin had a bunch of comic books, and he was more of a DC reader. And, I got hooked on it. I think the first story was right around the time where Hal was about to be, turned into Parallax. So.
And that was the best stuff. When Hal started to turn, that was like when Green Lantern really started getting... I mean, like, the social stuff of Green Arrow and Green Lantern was awesome, but, like, when Hal started to lose it, that was... Mm-hmm. Made that whole world so much more interesting.
And that was right around the time where Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the animated series, was kind of coming out, and John Stewart was the Green Lantern there, and it was becoming very, very popular, so... Yeah, I mean, I was just... kind of, you know, yeah, just drawn into it. It's just a cool story.
Cool. Yeah, I got into it in the early 90s. I was kind of starting to make the transition from, like, Marvel more into DC, and my friends had read Green Lantern. I got into it just as the time the Emerald Twilight was taking place. So it was really a good time to really get involved with so much happening. And then later I kind of went back, caught up on some of the older stuff. But stayed, you know, with that for a long time, especially then when they kicked off the JLA series a few years ago in the comic books, which was phenomenal. So you definitely got a good dose of Green Lantern. I've fallen off in recent years, but
cool. What would be probably one of your favorite storylines for Green Lantern? It sounds like you all kind of agree that this Parallax storyline is probably your favorite.
I mean, I still like the Emerald Twilight part where Hal goes crazy and starts killing the other lanterns. That's
My favorite is the Sinestro Core War.
Okay,
love that. I mean, it was huge, epic, spanned the whole universe, and at the heart of it was really Hal versus Sinestro. So,
So it was Emerald Twilight's mine, definitely. Okay. Just because I like seeing good guys go bad.
Yeah,
like that just gets that so much fun. Yeah, to see that.
It's also when he got that nice streak in his hair. The gray kind of looked like I don't know, just some evil count. I don't know what we're going for. He had a cape too. Parallax had a cape.
Oh, nice. Yes.
That's how you knew he was.
It was Alan Scott's cape, actually.
I'm curious. What is the most valuable issue of Green Lantern that you guys own? Do you know, or
I don't know real fan.
Okay. Didn't know if there was a prized one that you have.
I have the Speedy, on heroin one.
That's a great one.
It's not like in the best condition, but yeah, I've got that one because I remember reading it. And I was like, damn, that's
That's probably the most famous issue from that run.
Yeah.
Oof. That's a good one.
Maybe I'll finally pay off.
I mean, I have all the ones from the Sinestro Corps. I have all the issues for Blackest Night.
Yeah.
I mean,
I might have to borrow that.
Blackest Night. Yeah.
Possibly.
It's a. That one was. Yeah. That was.
Just because it incorporates so many people from DC. It's not just the Lantern. So like you get to see. People die that you didn't expect to die. People come back that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, that's when they brought back the Silver Age Flash in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Flash and Green Lantern are actually, they're like best friends.
Huh.
Like I think the Golden Age Green Lantern and Flash, the Silver Age Green Lantern, they were best friends at each age. So.
All right, well, I've got just two more questions to wind down with. Question number one for you experts here. So is there a main theme that hangs over the Green Lantern series? Like, I feel with Spider-Man, something they kind of come back to is the whole with great power, with great responsibility. Does Green Lantern have something like that? Does it have a theme that it kind of keeps over itself that you all know of? And it can be a couple of different themes. I mean,
well, I think it gets back to that kind of the police mentality aspect of it, that you kind of like protect the innocent and the weak, kind of, and you know, stop evil.
Like the will and the ability to overcome fear. Like whenever a ring attaches itself to a person, it has the ring. Does the ring say it, or does the person just hear it? It's just like Hal Jordan. You have the ability to overcome great fear. Welcome to the Green Lantern Corps. And that's what the ring says when it attaches to a new recruit. But that it's basically, you can do anything if you have the will to do it. It's, I guess, the Spider-Man lesson of Green Lantern.
Yeah. The Spider-Man lesson.
Yeah, the code they live by, like the, you know, the police code, which, again, like back to Green Arrow and Green Lantern, which you can kind of tell I like that a whole lot. It's just definitely like the juxtaposition of like, how do you be a cop and do all these things and with all the other things going on? Like, how do you fix things without breaking the rules? And how do you do it without killing somebody? And they have all these, like, little hang-ups that the Green Lantern has to get over just to do his own job. Like, all these rules and things. And Hal's attempt to, like, do right.
He knows.
This guy knows.
It's kind of funny because they're reversing their roles now in the modern age.
Yeah.
Like, especially with how they're kind of branding Green Arrow now. He's with the show. I don't know if you guys watch Arrow, but he's very you know he's
actually a big fan of that show.
I really like Arrow.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's focused. He's driven. He's extremely disciplined. Whereas Green Lantern in the comics now he's kind of all over the place.
Is it still Hal Jordan that's getting the
way? Yeah.
Okay. Is that because they made him younger when they brought him back? Or
I mean, Secret Origin kind of changed his backstory, and he's just portrayed now as kind of a...
They took the gray out.
What would you say to someone as to why they should read Green Lantern versus, like, Batman or Superman, if you can say that? I mean, obviously, I feel a lot of people have heard of Batman and Superman, so what would you say to someone to encourage them, hey, this is Green Lantern, this is why you should read Green Lantern?
Well, I think for Green Lantern, I mean, it's definitely, especially some of the, you know, larger... Because they do tend to work with the larger villains and stuff, which I think that's one of the problems that Superman has, especially, is like, if he's not fighting Lex Luthor, it seems like it's just another villain he's just wasting his time defeating, because Superman's just so powerful, where at least Green Lantern still has some flaws, and you know, he actually has to struggle at times to overcome some of the villains. I'm not going to make a case for you to read it over Batman.
That's all right. We'll have the Batman podcast sometime, so but you know, that does bring up, like, Green Lantern does seem to, like, marry the superpowers of Superman, but the weaknesses and mortality of Batman, which is nice.
It's a nice mid-ground. I mean, because effectively, if you take away his ring, he's just a person, and there go the powers.
I mean, there are a lot of similarities between Green Lantern and Batman. They basically became heroes because their fathers, their parents died,
and they didn't start out as superheroes. Like, they came into it as humans, which is always good.
All right, well. Any final thoughts, Sean? How you doing over there?
Doing okay.
You want to read some Green Lantern now?
Maybe.
I don't think he's going to.
Still Aquaman?
Still gonna go with Aquaman?
Yeah.
Aquaman.
We'll get you Emerald Twilight.
I mean, like, just because at that point you get to see all your characters just go nuts, and it's actually like Batman watching people do horrible things to each other. It's just a much more human idea. I like that. I just like that whole...
I've got Chris Nolan's phone number, so I'll give him a ring, tell him to do to Green Lantern what he did for Batman, and then that'll get you on board, maybe.
I do like the Superman, so that's fun and all, but yeah, the human overcoming certain flaws and emotions and limitations that humans have to do something greater than themselves is always an interesting thing, and it sounds like that's kind of a theme. I mean, overcoming fear is I've heard that a lot as you guys were talking, and so that's kind of an interesting thing of, you know, how destructive fear can be to an individual's will and stuff like that, and sounds interesting.
Well, and you've also all mentioned him essentially being a cop, which I actually find really interesting, that he's a superhero, but he works within the confines of a greater organization, which not a lot of the other heroes off
they
the top
to
of my head I can think
own.
Of, you know.
Yeah.
Great. Any final thoughts?
No, I don't think I
do. Okay. Good. This
go
has been
fight
a,
evil.
All right, go fight right. evil. Sounds yeah. good. Does anybody want to plug anything, a podcast or whatnot? I would like to plug this book that I borrowed from my brother. It's DC Comics Year by Year, a Visual Chronicle. This thing is got to be like $50 or $60, but it is a very interesting read. And I can't see who the author is because it's probably a ton of people. It's a huge, huge book that goes year by year through the different ages of comic books. Tells you about important issues, important stories. It also tells you what's going on in the real world at the time, so they kind of explain why the comic book world was doing what it was doing.
So you didn't need us at all for this history, did you?
No, I was just going to tape myself reading this for 7 days, because that's how thick it is. It's a very interesting book, so if you're interested in DC Comics, I'd check it out.
There is a video game coming out.
There is a video game
called Injustice Gods Among Us. It's a DC fighter game.
Does have Green Lantern in it.
It does have Green Lantern in it.
And Sinestro. Sinestro was just revealed today.
So it might be an interesting game.
Worth a check.
It does have Aquaman in it.
It has Aquaman.
Nice.
Yeah, I will also say the Green Lantern First Flight animated movie was pretty good. I really enjoyed that. The movie with Ryan Reynolds and...
You know who would be a great Green Lantern is...
George Clooney.
George Clooney?
George Clooney? You're pointing at me. I don't
what's
know.
His nut? Why did I just blank on it? Firefly.
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion. They actually thought about him for a while.
He was considered the fit. Had they made Green Lantern 15 years ago,
he's done voiceover for Green Lantern.
Yeah, yes.
And, well,
I'd still like them to, if you can get the right writer and director, give another go, another Green Lantern movie, because I think there's a lot of potential there.
I think
there.
They will.
And
I think
got,
they've
got the Justice League movie kind of going. And
Yeah, I just feel like that's going to fall apart, though.
It's, well, it's an interesting strategy that they're doing, just kind of, it's like the reverse from what Marvel did.
Right. Having
the individual movies and then building to the group, whereas DC's going right from the group and then kind of fanning out to the individual
there,
movies.
So...
Cool. This has been the Nerd Outcast podcast discussing Green Lantern. I've been your host, Chris Bashan, and my guests tonight have been...
Roman.
Lawrence.
Patrick.
And Sean.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming out, and we'll see you all next time.
Blackest night, baby.
Blackest night!
Yeah.